All right, this is April 7th, 2008, and the topic this week is Becoming More.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The topic for the whole month is going to be Becoming More. And what do we mean by becoming more? Hey, look at these two. Strains come in. For the whole month is Becoming More. And what do we mean about becoming more? Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, when we were teaching abundance and prosperity, including money, we used to end everything with more, please. Because you want more of everything, but you also want more of yourself. And we don't get more of ourselves because we buy in to what the world is telling us, what race mind is telling us. And we buy in to who we think we are. We allow our minds to tell us who we are. And we must remember that we are not our minds. Our minds are ours to use. So what do I mean by all that? We start by looking at ourselves and we say, I am this, this, and this. First of all, you think of who you came from, so your parents. You think of your habits. You think of your addiction. You think of all those things that characterize you, and you say, this is who I am. And usually, you don't go past those things. You take it for granted. I have an addiction. I have a habit. I have this. I have that. And you stay with those things. You have to become more. You certainly have to become more than your addictions. You have to become more than your habits. And you can do that by realizing that you can give them up. They're just labels. They're only labels that you've put on yourself. And you have allowed yourself to believe that. I can't do this. I can't dance. I can't sing. Oh, I can't write. But all those things, all those excuses that you give yourself. And you say, this is who I am. And you think you know yourself. You don't know yourself. You know little bits and pieces about yourself. And your mind puts those little bits and pieces together and says, this is who you are. This is who I am. You see? And we constantly get labels from outside. The world loves to give a label to something. Attention deficit. Dyslexia. Bipolar. All these things. You're much more than any of those things. And if you buy into all those things, that's as far as you're ever going to go. Now, somebody will say, well, but that child is autistic. I'm here to tell you that we're all autistic in some form. We all have autism going on. Some people have it more. But the thing is, to think of yourself as more than that and not to buy into that. I tell this story about myself. You know, for years I was dyslexic. Now, I did not know that because during the time that I was, that all that was going on, no one diagnosed that, you know, 40, 50 years ago. They just thought, oh, something's wrong with him. That's all they didn't say. Then they finally said, oh, I think you're dyslexic. And then I went to different educators. I went to here. I went to there. Spent tons of money on the problem. Finally, I ran into somebody. Had a place in South Pasadena called Tutors. And I went in there and I explained it to her. I said, this is what they tell me. This is what's going on. This. She looked at me and she said, Dallas, why don't we pretend you don't have it? Why don't we pretend you don't have it? We started out with that premise. And now very rarely am I dyslexic. And when I am, I can correct it. I can see it quicker. The main thing is I don't get all upset about it. And I don't get all nervous. Because as soon as you get upset and nervous, it becomes worse. But you can outgrow these things. You can become more than these problems. People don't do that. Why? Because the world outside, this thing that we call race mind, wants to keep you locked, wants to keep you locked in to that label. People love to analyze you, and they love to tell you this is what's wrong with you. How many people do you go to if you go to a therapist? Does the therapist say, oh, this is what's right with you? Do you know any therapist that says, oh, I'm glad you came, I'm going to tell you what's right with you? No. What do they say? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with you and why it's happening and what's going on and yada, yada, yada. You see? Don't buy into those things. You have to become more. You have to become more of yourself. And you do that by giving up that idea, by giving up that label. You see? You have to give that up. You have to say to yourself constantly, I have a good mind. Why do you have a good mind? Because you're using the only mind there is in the universe, and that's the mind of God. And that's the mind of God. You see? And if you have all these little things and they tell you, oh, there's misfiring going on and misfiring going on, whatever's going on in your brain, say to yourself, you know, I only use 5% of that brain. I think I'm going to move over and use another 5% that's not doing that. You see? And then you move that. You move that. In life, you have to give up all those ideas about yourself. And you have to become more of who you are. More of this thing that we call spirit. More of this thing that we call God. You think God's dyslexic? I don't think so. You see? So you have to remember that. And then you move up in that. You move to a different consciousness. Everyone is familiar with Einstein's expression. You cannot solve a problem with the same mind or the same thing that caused the problem. You have to move to a different way of thinking in order to solve the problem. Because if you're still using the same mind that caused the problem, it cannot fix the problem. And that's what we do with ourselves, and that's what the world teaches all the time, you see. So here, I'm always telling you I'm going to give you the secret of life. And I give it to you all the time in different forms. Tonight's secret of life is this. If you want to change your reality, if you want to change yourself, you have to move your mode of operation. Where are you operating from? What mind are you using to operate from? Why are you not getting what you want? Because you're using race mind. You're using the consensus mind. And it won't give you the answer. It won't give you the answer. If you do a treatment, and then you go right back and live in race mind, it's not going to be answered. You have to move to a higher consciousness. You have to move to a different way of thinking. So say to yourself, where am I operating from? How am I operating? How is my mind operating? And remember the premise that we always use when we start to think, especially when we start to think about ourselves. What do we start? Where is the baseline? Where is the mode of operation that we start with? Worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. Every time you have to move to there. That has to be a constant in your thinking. If you allow race mind to come right in and tell you that's not so. Now, if race mind doesn't come in and tell you that's not so, what it does is it makes you forget that. And you don't even think about it. And you start to solve a problem. And you wonder why you're getting nowhere. Because you have to sit down and say, I am worthy, I am deserving, I am totally lovable, and I matter. And when you know those four items, you go to a different place in consciousness. And you allow this thing that we call God to operate in, as, and through you. In, as, and through you. So think of that each time. Where is my mode of operation? Where am I thinking from? Am I thinking from my past? Am I thinking from what my parents told me? Am I thinking from what some authority told me? You have to know that you can think past anybody. You see, we cannot make the statement, all things are possible with God, and then start to think like everybody else. You see, race mind wants everyone to think the same. They want the status quo to keep going so that they can predict everything. If you know how everyone's going to think, you can predict. How do you think they get you to buy everything? How do you think they get you to buy everything? Yes. So you have to sit down. You wouldn't buy all that stuff if you knew you were worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you mattered. You think you don't matter, but if I got that car, I'd matter. Oh, boy, that would be a big shot. You see? Right? Mm-hmm. I don't have a love affair. Well, if I wore that perfume, somebody's going to like me now. And you rush out and you buy all that stuff. You think they don't know? That's race mind. So where are you thinking from? You see? You have to think past that. You have to think from a different mind. From a different part of mind. From a different mode of operation. But it has to always start with worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. Just stand still. No talent required. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. So, when you're trying to solve any problem, when you're trying to manifest something, find out where that mode of operation is. Where are you thinking from? From what part of mind are you thinking from? Are you thinking from race mind? You see? Are you thinking from that consensus mind? Or are you going to let that go and start to think for yourself? You see? If you want a miracle, you're going to have to think out of race mind. Why? Because race mind does not believe in miracles. And if they do believe in miracles, only one every 100 years. That's all you're allowed, one every 100 years. When somebody is cured spontaneously, we would say, oh, a miracle. What does race mind say? Oh, they went into remission, it'll come back. When into remission, it'll come back. You see, if you're thinking from that mode of operation, how are you going to be able to heal yourself? How are you going to be able to heal yourself? If you want money, but you're allowing race mind to say money is scarce, the economy's bad, no one's buying, you can't get a job, money doesn't grow on trees. If you're thinking from that, how are you going to get your money? How are you going to get your safety? It's where you are thinking from. It's that mode of operation you are thinking from. Many people here have studied metaphysics, and they know science of mind. They go to the religious science churches, and their motto is, change your mind, change your life. But you change your mind about yourself. You change your mind about things. But you have to change your mind into thinking in a different mode, from a different mode of operation. Just changing your mind is easy. Keeping it changed and keeping it in a different mode of operation is what needs to be done. This teaching works. And if everyone understood it, it would work all the time. But you know, many metaphysicians, many religious science churches, it's not working for the people. It's not working for the people. Why isn't it? Because they go right back to race mind. They go right back to race mind. I once heard a religious science practitioner say this. Well, you know, the big evaluator in the sky. She had a license. Somebody gave her a license. You see what's wrong with that people, the new people? There's no evaluator in the sky. God's not evaluating anything. If a practitioner says there's an evaluator in the sky, please run the other way. They have just slipped into race mind. Now she's operating for race mind. She's going to do a treatment. How the hell do you think you're going to get what you want? You're not going to get it. She's in race mind. See, we slip into race mind so easily. And we think it's all right to do that, you see. But you have to know that every prayer, every treatment is answered. Is answered. You have to know that. But race mind thinks, oh, some are answered and some aren't. Somebody thinks, oh, there's a sorting room up somewhere. Oh, well, that's a good one and that's a bad one. Well, we're not going to make that one. We're not, you know. God does not evaluate. If you do a prayer and you do it from the correct mode of operation, absolutely believing in it, it has to work for you instantly. It doesn't work instantly because we slip into race mind. As soon as you slip into race mind, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So it's learning to think from a different level. It's learning to have your mode of operation moved. You see? And we do that. We say these different things. How many people here still believe and listen to what their mind is telling them? No. You say, well, you're not your mind any more than you are your computer. You see? And that's all your mind is a big computer that you have to learn how to use. You have to learn how to use it, otherwise it's crazy. Look at a computer. My computer's crazy. It does things I don't want it to do all the time. Yeah. These things pop up and this happens and something disappears and I go, what's wrong here? And our minds do that same thing to us. It pops things up to you. But you have to learn how to see that. And then you have to learn how to correct that. One or the other, when I was telling you the secrets of life, what was the other secret of life I gave you? You must learn to control your thinking. You must control your thinking. You see, once you learn to control your thinking, then you realize that you're in complete control of everything. And that you don't place the blame outside of you, that nothing is causing anything, you see. But you are always the cause under your own experience. You have just caused whatever happened to you. Now the mind would like to say, well, that's not true. That is not true. Because it can come up with all the reasons. You see, if you're late for a class, your mind says, that's all right. You didn't cause that because the traffic was bad. You see. The mind will always give you an excuse to get you off the hook. You must stop taking that hook. Every time you take that hook, you're hooked and it drags you. It drags you here, there, and everywhere. As soon as you say, the traffic has nothing to do with me whatsoever. I always arrive on or before time. There's no such thing as traffic in my life. Now, my mind over here is going, oh yeah, but there's traffic out there. Oh, plenty of traffic. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever, the traffic, unless you allow it to do something to you. Nothing to do with you. Why does it have something to do with you? Because you step right into that thing. Listen to the radio. I listen to the classical station, and the man on the classical station could knock him down too. Because he wants to tell you how bad the traffic is all the time, and this just fell off, and that happened, and this happened, and then we're going to have road rage music for a minute or something. And I'm going, where does all this come from, you're saying? Because he's telling everyone it's a jungle out there. That traffic in L.A. is just horrible. How many people here believe the traffic in L.A. is horrible? That's a complete race mind. You're just bought in to race mind.
Traffic is my friend.
Yes. Yes. Make traffic
make
your
it
friend.
So.
When you get up in the morning, know that traffic is for you. You see. But you get up, most people get up and they turn on the radio and it tells you how bad it is out there and who's just fallen off and who's run into whom and all that kind of stuff. You go, oh, I've got to get out into that. Oh, my goodness. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Nothing to do with you whatsoever. So you settle yourself. And what do you say? I'm worthy. I'm deserving. Totally lovable. And I matter. And it's just another day in paradise. And traffic has no effect on me whatsoever. And then you'll see it part. You'll see it part. Yes, it has to. It has to. It has to. It's in your mind. It's in your consciousness. Everything that happens to you because you have thought about it, and you have drawn it into your life. What you think about, you bring about. Very easy, very simple. If it was, oh, I didn't, oh, no. Yes, you did. You see. Now, as soon as you're able to say to yourself, I caused that, and take responsibility for everything that happens to you in your life, then you can change it. But if you say, oh, I can't change that because my parents did that to me. Now, most of the people who tell me that, I'm a little older than most of you, their parents are dead, you say. And they're still saying, my parents are causing that. You know, from where? The other side of something. You see? It's in your mind. It's in your mind. People, places, things, and circumstances have no power over you whatsoever. The only power is in your mind and the way you're thinking. And the way you're thinking. Well, that person did something bad to me. Yes, that's right, they did. Yep, they did. But now how are you going to think about it? You see? How are you going to think about it? You have to control your thinking. Now, if somebody does something bad to you, and you dwell on that, and dwell on that, and dwell on that, it's going to manifest somewhere. And it usually manifests in your body. And you get sick. You're sick. So now that you know that, you decide, well, that person was horrible to me, that person was a rotten son of a you know what. But I'm not going to let that get me down. I'm going to forgive that person and think myself right out of that situation into the situation I'm in because I know I am here to enjoy myself. And I'm going to start to enjoy myself. We're only given so many years, even if we're each given 100 years to be on this wonderful thing that we can call Earth School. I like to look at it more like Earth Laboratory, you know. Remember when you went to college, you went to lab classes, you worked all this stuff, you know. That's all life is. Oh, that worked, that didn't. Oh, well, okay. You know, that's all it is. Oh, that works, that doesn't. oh, that didn't work. And then they dwell on that, and they dwell on that, and they dwell on that. Oh, move past it, didn't work. Move past it, it didn't work. Well, I wanted that relationship to work, but the relationship didn't work. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever. Some relationships work, some relationships don't work. But I loved him. Well, yes, you loved him, he didn't love you. How could you say he didn't love me? Yeah, he didn't love you. You see, people think that if you love them, they have to love you back. Give up that idea, that's race mind. That's how you get yourself in all that trouble. You say, oh, if I love them, they have to love me back. No, they don't. They don't have to do that. Then you get all mad. Well, I gave him all that stuff. I was doing myself. How could he not love me? Doesn't love you. You see? Or then you can't find love, you see. You can't find love. You can shower people with gifts and shower people with gifts. They don't like it, they don't like it. You can't buy it. Then you see that person, somebody does absolutely nothing for that person, and they fall in love. You go, but I gave him everything. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We have to learn to think from a different mode of operation. And we have to give up all those ideas that race mind has spoon-fed you since day one. And you think all that was wonderful. Oh, they took good care of me. Oh, yes, they certainly did. They lied to you, and they lied to me, and they lied to you, and they lied to you. And you said, well, that's all right, because they love me. They love me. No. Give those ideas up. Give those ideas up. Does that mean there's not love in the world? There's only love in the world, people. That's the only thing there is. You see, love is the same as God. You can interchange them at any time you want. And we know that there's only God. There's only one power in the world, and that is God. There's only one power in the world, and that is love. And it's truly love that does all of this. But not that love that you were taught. It's a different type of love. You see? We go into our ego mind, and our little ego mind says, well, if I love them, they must love me. And if I give them this, then I expect this back. You see, we have to give up these expectations. We have to give up these expectations. You want to know another great big expectation you have to give up? When you do a prayer, you do a treatment, you must realize that it's already done, that it has been answered, but not in your way. Give up the expectation that it has to be done your way. You see? As soon as you give up that expectation that it has to be done your way, you'll see that it has been done. You can't see that your prayer has worked as long as you hold on, but it has to be done this way. And I'm not going to believe it till I see it done my way. You see? Once you give up that expectation, oh, lo and behold, you see, oh my goodness, that did work. You see? It always worked. Why is that true? Because we see with our minds, people. We don't see with our eyes. So the expectation that you're holding, even if the thing were so much better than what you wanted, you couldn't see it as long as you held that expectation of what you wanted it to be. As soon as you give up your expectation, there it is in front of you. There it is in front of you. So we give up those expectations. We know that we're taken care of. We know that all our needs are met. And will always be met. Without that expectation, then you see that those needs are met. And you see that all this really works. But you have to move out from that race mind or that fixed mind that you have. So you have to start thinking differently. You have to start thinking differently. Andy mentioned earlier that on the internet at the present moment, Casey has put up a man talking about the hologram. Last week I explained the hologram. Many people still are confused. Please learn what a hologram is. Learn to change your thinking about what you learned from race mind. And one of the ways to do that is learn that this universe is a hologram, and that you are part of that hologram, and that the universe is truly in every part of you. Can be no other way. So you give that up. You start to think from that mode of operation. You're saying, now you're no longer thinking from a flat world. You're saying the world isn't going to be flat for you any longer. If you're always thinking from the flat world, that's all you're ever going to get. So now you move and you start to think about the hologram. You start to see the universe in yourself as more than you truly are. Then you start to see your life as more than it truly is. Yes, you're having a human experience, but you are spiritual, and you will continue on your path, and you will continue living and living and living. There is no such thing as dead. There's no such thing as dead. You see, people are like, oh, well, dead. No. This body may die, but your essence, your spirit, your consciousness will continue. So then you start to think about that so that you can make yourself bigger. If you think that your life is only a birth certificate and a death certificate, that's not much to think, is it? That's all you're ever going to think. You have to think bigger. You have to draw that out. Then you start to think, well, I had parents. Well, you have to know that yes, you had parents, and they were wonderful parents. Or they weren't so wonderful. Doesn't matter. You have them. The only way you could incarnate on this planet was to come through a parent. You can't just go poof and there you are. You have to come through somebody to get there. So you were floating around in nothing. Lolling around in the days and saying to yourself, oh, no, there must be more than this darkness and so forth and all this floating around. I think I would like to become human. Oh, grand idea. Now, how am I going to do that? Oh, well, look down. Oh, there's a woman. I like her. I think I'll go through her. So you pick your parents. You see, you pick your parents. Please, people. Know that you've done that. Know that you picked your parents. Why is that so important? Because now you can't blame them for anything. See, now you can't blame them for anything. I know one person said, well, I may have picked my parents, but if I did, I must have been in a hurry. But you have to know that you picked your parents. Now that lets you off the hook. You cannot go back and say, well, my mother did this and this and this and this and blah, 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 whatever. So you have to know there was a reason. So you were with them for them to give you something, and they were with you to give you something. You may be able to figure that out. You may not be able to figure it out. But the main thing is to know that you did it. You see? Now you're taking full responsibility for that. Then you have to say, well, they were my earthly parents. And we all look at our earthly parents and we say, oh, I look like my mother, I look like my father, and I have these wonderful things called genes. Because who told us that? Race, mind, and scientists told us that we have genes. And that we look like our parents, you see. And we all say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? But I'm here also to tell you, aren't you made in the image and likeness of God? You're made inwardly in the image and likeness of God. So you have to take this whole idea that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And when we say that, we stop at our earthly parents. Why don't we say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree and look at God as the tree instead of our earthly parents? The apple is at that somewhere. Now, there you are. So then, what can we do? We can make that wonderful statement. All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. You see? You are absolutely one with God. Absolutely one with God. You see? Now you have to start thinking from that. Now there is a new mode of operation, isn't it? A new mode of operation. So now, if you have this new mode of operation and you're thinking, well, I picked my parents, I came through my parents, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I'm made in the image and likeness of God inwardly. Can you see any freedom in that? Can you see if you're thinking from this mode of operation? Now you do a treatment and you say, I'm whole, complete, and perfect. That you have to be whole, complete, and perfect. You see? But if you go over here to race mind and you say, oh, I'm whole, complete, and perfect. But oh my, look at all those sick people. Look at all those diseases they're telling me to get. Oh, I get all this stuff. Oh my. Over here you can't get any of that. Because this is where you're thinking from. This is your mode of operation. If you're operating from this mode, then this is the mode that makes the reality. If you move back over to this one, now, grace mind is the mode you're thinking from. And that is the reality that you're going to get. You're going to say there is disease, there is poverty, there is war, there is all this stuff. You see? It's moving, shifting your mode of operation. So when you do a treatment, shift your thinking from that world to the world that you want, to a higher way of thinking, to a better way of thinking, you see? Everyone here has heard. Grace Mind says it all the time. Prayer works. But do they believe it? You see, grace mind says that. But they don't believe it. Cute story about grace mind. People were out on a ship. The ship starts to sink. And they do this and that. And, oh, get the light out of that. And do, call this, do that. And finally somebody said, I think we should pray. And a woman says, oh my God, has that come down to that? You see, prayer should have been the first thing that they thought of. Prayer should be the first thing that you think of. If you say prayer works and you say, I believe in God, and I think all things are possible with God, then you have to be able to do it. You see? But if you're over here in this thinking, that's only half-assed over here. It says, oh yes, what we believe in that. This is lip service only. This is lip service. You have to move to where you absolutely know and believe that that is the way it is. You see? Once you get all race mind to think that way, then that becomes race mind. You see? You don't have to think like other people, and you don't have to think like the world. You don't have to think that there's always been war and there will always be war. You don't have to make statements that's the way it always is. You see? Look at the Middle East. Every time the Middle East comes up, oh, they've been doing that for 2,000 years, they'll continue. They've been doing it for 2,000 years, they'll continue. That's race mind. Our friend isn't here who knows. What does God do? God makes all things new. Race mind keeps the same thing for 2,000 years. And longer. God makes all things new. So move to that mode of thinking. So, we have just started this, becoming more. We have the rest of the month. During the rest of the month, pick something that you want to change about yourself and change it. Pick something that you want to change about yourself and change it. Say, I have been this way long enough. I don't want to be this way any longer. And then start to change it. You see, there's no sense going to church. There's no sense studying metaphysics. There's no sense doing all this stuff if you're just going to remain the same. Instead of becoming more, you see? Everyone here wants peace of mind. You would love your mind to tell you that everything is all right. You would love your mind to tell you that you're all right. You would love your mind to tell you that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And I'm here to tell you your mind can do that. But you have to start today thinking differently about yourself. You can't wait for somebody else to do this. And I can say this little ritual all the time. But you have to start saying it to yourself. I'm worthy. I'm deserving. I'm totally lovable. And that I matter. Do you know how many times a day I say that to myself? I have to say it to myself. Didn't come to me easily. And it goes very quickly sometimes. But I set myself right down and repeat it. And I look in a mirror and I repeat it. Because I'm bound and determined to become more. I'm bound and determined to become better. And I'm bound and determined to prove that this thing that we talk about all the time, this thing that we call God, actually does exist and actually does work. Instead of just having a hypothesis about it and hoping that maybe God will work. You see. We give up the hope.
I'll give an example of, I've reversed my aging process.
Yes.
Slowed it down and reversed it by telling myself for years I'm getting younger.
Yes.
I'm getting younger every day. Pretty soon I started to see it, I believed it, and I realized it started to slow down. Yes. And then go back.
And it does. You know, I have a friend, Joyce Reynolds. She looks fabulous. She's in her 70s. I said, Joyce, how do you do that? She said, I look in the mirror every morning. I go, now listen here, you little cells. Start to youth. Start to youth. The body has no causation of its own. The body has no causation of its own. The mind has causation, and you control the mind. We age because we see everybody else aging. We age because we see everybody else aging. They did a wonderful experiment outside of Boston. They took people in their 60s, and they took them back to 1950, and they put them in a house for a weekend with everything 50s. Music, radio, everything 50s. And by the end of the weekend, they all looked and felt younger. They all looked and felt younger. We get old because we see people getting old and we say, that's the way it works. It's not the way it works. You see, I've never been able to buy into that. If you're new, you see, they used to say we were completely new every 7 years. Now they say it's about five and a half years that every part of your body is completely new. You know, your stomach lining redoes itself every 7 days. Your eyes redo themselves like every 12 days. You're constantly resurrecting yourself. You're constantly brand new. Why? Because God makes all things new. God is not in the repair business, people. Who's in the repair business? Erase mine. Oh, bad hip. Let me repair that for you. Just say, let me repair something for you. Let me repair your body. You're getting old. We're not cars. We are not cars. We don't wear out. We don't wear out. We're new all the time. So stop buying into that. Stop buying into that you're getting older. I never think I'm getting older. You know, I do yoga 5 days a week. And the master, this not in this center, but when I go to Sedona, the master there, I don't know how old he is, but when he does these exercises, of course, he's so young, he can do them. He said, you must remember, the deeper, the younger. Meaning, if you can put your palms on the floor, the deeper you can go, the deeper with any exercise, the yoga positions that you can do, the younger you become. Well, you can believe you me, I'm getting deeper all the time. I'm getting deeper all the time. Yes. You have to think of those things and use that. You see, it's changing. It's this shifting. It's coming from a different mode of operation. Can you understand that in your own mind? That shift that you have to make. But you have to give up all that crap from the past. You have to give up all those stories that you keep telling yourself. I can't do this because of this. I'm handing that thing on to this. You know, they're nothing but stories and stories and stories. And you want to tell them. Because otherwise. No, don't you get tired? Don't you have friends around keep telling you the same story? But you don't understand. Yes, I understand you're boring. You know? Give it up. It's not going to change. Why is it not going to change? Because they're not changing their mode of operation. They're not changing their mode of operation. You can't keep thinking the same way. You cannot do it. Jesus, one of the master teachers, remember he said, if you pray, you have to clear your mind first to pray. If you have resentments, if you haven't forgiven, if you have hates and slights and all this stuff going on in your mind and you sit down to pray, how do you expect the prayer to work? You have to cleanse yourself, you see. Another mode of operating. Another mode. Raised mind, and it's very difficult, you know. Because of the world we live in, because of this thing we call raised mind. It's one of the spiritual mysteries. This thing when we say we must forgive. We must forgive. It's not easy to forgive. Very difficult to forgive. Because the mind wants to pull you right back into it every time. And raised mind says, oh, you can't do that. Don't forgive them. You can forget, but don't forgive. Don't forget. And we think it's all right. We think it's all right. But we have to forgive. We just have to forgive constantly. What's the main thing you have to forgive?
Yourself.
Yourself. You have to forgive yourself, people. Who cares if you forgive the neighbor? No, it has to start with you. Forgive yourself. Some people are so proud. Oh, I forgive him. Well, have you forgiven yourself? Well, no, I can't. Oh, man, I can't forgive myself. Well, you better forgive yourself. You're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that can do it. You see, God also is not in the forgiving business. Does anyone think God's in the forgiving business? God doesn't forgive. God doesn't forgive because God never condemned. God always holds you in the highest of esteem. It's your little mind, that little ego mind, that tells you, oh, you've been bad. You've been naughty. God never says that to you. You can do anything, will never offend God. It'll offend you. But it will not offend God. So if you know that, then you have to realize I am the only person that can forgive me. When I had a church, I told my congregation, God cannot forgive you, this church cannot forgive you, and I cannot forgive you. Only you can forgive yourself. Only you have the power to forgive yourself. You see. But yet people are waiting for somebody else to forgive them. Forgive yourself so that that part of your mind is clear. You see? Then you can start to think from a different mode of operation. Absolutely. But you have to start seeing things differently, analyzing things, and stop taking all the secondhand information that you hear from that race mind out there. You see? It's not interested in you. It's only interested in taking your money and making you miserable. You see? What is race mind? Does it race mind ever tell you you're whole, complete, and perfect? I don't think so. It tells you, no, you're falling apart. You better buy this product. You see? And we think that's life. You've got to see life differently. And you've got to see yourself differently. You've got to see yourself as bigger than you are. You've got to become more. You've just got to become more. And to be able to do that, give up all that old thinking that you've been thinking for the last 20, 30 years. And it won't get you nowhere because you're thinking in race mind. And the problem is not going to be saved in race mind. Saved or solved, I'm sorry. It's not going to be solved till you move to a different mode of thinking. So when you're doing your treatment work, sit down and clear yourself first. Sit down and clear yourself. And say, how do you do that? Say, well, I'm moving to a different mode of operation. I'm shifting my consciousness now. It will shift. That's the power you have. You'll feel a tug holding you, trying to pull you back into race mind type of thinking. Tell it to go away, ignore it, and do what you want to do. Do what you want to do. It's time. How much longer are you going to wait to become the person you want to be? How much longer are you going to wait to have what you want in life? To have what you want in life. Is your mind saying, well, one more book, one more seminar, one more this, one more that, and then I'm ready. You have to make yourself ready now. You have to make yourself ready now. I tell this story about my friend Lorraine. It was years ago, during the 70s, Lorraine and I were seminar junkies. And she went off to Hawaii. I did not go, thank goodness. To Leonard Orr and Sonia Ray were having loving relationships training in Hawaii. So, I think it was a week, 2 week thing. But she's back in no time. I said, Lorraine, what happened? She said, you know, Dallas, I was sitting there during the seminar, and she said, finally, I just looked down at my hand. And she said, I looked at the palm of my hand, and I went, healed. And can you try that, people? Put your hand out. Put your hand out. Look at the palm of your hand. Go ahead. Put your hand out. Now go, heel. That's how it's done. That's how it's done. That's the power you have. So think of that. When you're in any type situation, any type, just look at your hand and go, healed. Yes, you laugh. But that's the way it works. You see, your mind wants to make everything difficult, everything hard, everything complicated. And it's not that way. You know, it's simple. Why do most people not understand God? Because they make God so complicated. They make God so complicated. They think God is this great big enormous power. God is this and God is that. You see, God is none of those things. God is none of those things. I'll close with another thing that I remember now from Einstein. You know, during Einstein's life, he was always looking for what was called the unifying factor, the unifying equation. He thought there was one equation, one thing that would unify everything, because in the universe, you see, everything, this one thing would unify everything. It wouldn't be the strong force and the weak force and electromagnetism and whatever the other is. That there was a unifying force, and he would find that unifying force. And he said the reason why we don't find that unifying force is because we made it so complicated. And he said when we realize it's something very simple, we will discover it. And that's what we do with our lives. We think our lives are so complicated. Make your life simple. Make your thinking simple. And your life will be wonderful. It will be wonderful. And it is wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein's the lesson. Thank you.